No.
She likes to talk, I think, so I'll just keep her there, huh? Well, she's good at it. She is good. Amen. Amen. let's pray. I want to pray real quick. Let's pray. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. We come before you this morning, and we give you glory and honor, and we thank you for this, Lord. And Father, at this time, we just pray that your word reigns true in our lives and reigns true in our hearts and our minds right now, that your word just reigns true, and it directs our path and it directs our thoughts, Lord. And just ask your presence and your peace and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. I prepared a message today about coming from the Word of God and not from the book of Mitch, although I'd like to see that book if there was one. If you find one, that'd be great. I'd like to buy that. Maybe it's on Amazon. Maybe. Well, we're going to continue a conversation we had on Wednesday talking about Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I have to use like 5 different Bibles. Somehow, on the Bible that I really, really like, Matthew chapter 5 got ripped out. So hopefully somebody has it somewhere and is reading it. But Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6 and chapter 7 is talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Yes? Everybody's familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, hopefully. But I want to talk a little bit about a certain portion of that. Now, if you were not here Wednesday, we talked about Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12, and that's talking about the Beatitudes. And I'm sure most of us know what the Beatitudes are. And the Lord revealed to me in prayer that we need to look at it from a different perspective, that the Beatitudes are there. He was talking to his disciples, and people just gathered around. So he was really talking to believers. And how many of us are believers in here? So Jesus, most of the time, are talking to the believers. Pharisees, the believers, his disciples, that's typically his audience, and people just kind of gathered around and heard what he was saying. And the Holy Spirit stirred in their hearts to become followers of Christ or to be who they became. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we all know God blesses those who are poor, God blesses those who mourn, God blesses those who humble, God blesses those who hunger, God blesses those who are merciful, God blesses those who are hearts are pure, God blesses those who work for peace, God blesses those who are persecuted, God blesses those people who are mocked. And at the very end it says, be happy, right? And what we talked about Wednesday is I believe that God revealed to me in prayer that we need to understand that some scriptures around there says that God is who he is and he cannot deny himself of who he is. And so the Holy Spirit, when we become believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives where? Inside. And so if God cannot deny who he is and he lives in you, he cannot deny who he is through you. And so what that means is this, is that these things here, God blesses those. The blessings are with you already when you believe. God blesses those who mourn. Well, he has to because he is who he is. He blesses those, and the kingdom of God is yours because it is yours. When you believe, it has to be yours because he can't deny who he is in you. And so when you believe, you are part of that kingdom, and it doesn't really matter what's going on. So what he is, you are also. Amen? Because if he lives inside of you, you are a part of that kingdom. Amen? So that's kind of a gist about what we talked about on Wednesday. And so the challenge for the week on Wednesday was to be who you be. To be who you are, because God is in you, and so be that. Be love, be all of these things. And it's not that you're a random person from church or from another church or from another work or another place is going to see God, but they're going to see God through you because he lives in you. And because he lives in you, he cannot deny who he is through you. And they will see everything they need through you as long as you are connected. connected with him. Amen? So that's kind of what's talked about on Wednesday night. And I want to continue that and talk a little bit more about Matthew chapter 5, but I want to go to verses 13 through 16. And this is, I'm sure most of us have talked this, have read this before, heard this before, it's about you being a salt. You being the salt and you being the light. Let's read that right now. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Let's start with verse 13 and let's go through verse 16. It says this, if you are the salt, you are the salt of the earth. It doesn't say if or when. It says you are. He's talking to his disciples and people are gathered around. And those who are believers, those are the ones following him, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with his love and compassion, you are salt of the earth. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He said, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? That's a question mark. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And we stop there. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And what we have to understand there is in the world, in that world, and in our world that we live in, there's a lot of ignorance going on. There's a lot of wickedness going on. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And it says there, you believers, hey, you're the salt of the earth. Obviously, you have to understand what salt was back in those days for him to say those things. And so salt was a preservative. Salt was a natural type of thing you would put on meat and you would flavor it and you would preserve it and it would stay true to what it is and stay true to what it was without rotting. Amen. And so if you are the salt of the earth, if you are followers of Christ, you are the salt of the earth, which means that you are flavor for all the rottenness out there so that the out there doesn't rot. Amen. And if we stay and we are the salt, then whatever we do outside of here gets flavored. Whatever we do outside of here stays preserved the way that it needs to be. Amen? As long as we stay the way that we need to be. Amen? It says, you know, mankind, our world is out there. It's lying in wickedness. It's lying in decay, it's rotting for the most part. And so, Christ sent out his disciples. We can read through the Great Commission and we can read through all the things that he said to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and lay your hands on the sick. Go and cast demons, right? We can say all those things. So Christ sent you, Christ sent them, Christ sent all of us believers to be the salt of the earth. Amen? To give flavor. To help not let people decay. To help let people not rot. Amen? By their lives, by our lives, this is how this happens, by our lives. You're the salt. So by your life, this is how salt is spread. You're the shaker. Amen. If we continue then, in 14 it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verse 15 then says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And verse 16 says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Amen. You have to think about it this way. The Jesus, if he was not the way he was, ultimately, we would not be the way we are. Jesus came. He gave his fruit and his life to his disciples. His disciples then became the salt and the light of the world to go out and then spread the gospel. Well, where do we hear that from? Well, from generations passed down, the word of God. If Jesus was not who he was, we would not be who we are. Amen? If they're not as they should be, then we're not as we should be. If we're not salt, then, well, I think we've lost our flavor. If knowing the Word of God in our hearts and living out the Word of God in our hearts and the love of God and understanding the mercy of God and understanding the love that comes from God, if we don't understand that and live that out, we've lost our salt. Amen. Turn to Ephesians in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. And as you go there, I'm going to say some things here. It is the cross of Christ that makes our life profitable. It is what was done at Calvary that makes our lives profitable. If there is no cross, then there is no grace. If there is no grace, then there is no salvation, because salvation came through Jesus Christ. Amen? When we read Matthew chapter 5 and get down to verse 14 and 15 and 16, where it talks about being the light of the world, we're the light. We're the light. You are the bright light that shines, meaning that your light must shine. What does that mean? That means just what verse 17 said here in Matthew 5. It says, let your good deeds. Well, what does that mean? A light can't shine if you hide it. If we hide ourselves, we can't shine. If you hide your good deeds, it's never going to be shown. Now, your salvation comes by grace, not by good works, but your good works show your salvation. Show your love that lives inside of you. Amen? So we can show that we know who God is by what we do. Amen? Your light must shine so that men can see, so that people can see. The people that need to know about Jesus aren't going to just walk in here unless the Holy Spirit prompts them to. They're probably going to run into you at the store, run into you at work, or run into you somewhere else, and they need to see the light. And you need to throw some salt on them. Amen. Amen. And it's not for your glory. It's not for, I talked to Mitch Nelson today. He's so good. It's not for that. It's for his glory. For his profit, for the kingdom of heaven profiting. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says this, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. Amen? Call you light people. You know, there's a show called Swamp People or something like that. Right? We call you light people. Right? And verse 9, it says this. It says, for the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Because the light that's within you comes from heaven. And we talked about on Wednesday that God cannot deny who he is. So the light that's within you comes from above. Amen? For you to shine. Our actions, if you read into this, our actions then should reflect then your faith. Amen? Your life, your actions, your words should reflect your faith. And sometimes it's very difficult and sometimes it's hard because we have this emotional part. We have this fleshy part that wants to, some worse than others, some really bad, some not so bad, that want to lash out and do things, but that's not showing the light, and that's not showing salt. That's throwing pepper. Amen. Our actions should reflect our faith. Amen? In the book of 1 Peter, let's move there. 1 Peter, chapter 2, it says this in verse 11 and 12. It says, dear friends, and he's talking to you. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, They will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Meaning that there might be rumors going on around you, but if you show your life to prove those rumors wrong, then they don't stand. Amen? People can talk about you all they want, but what they see is what's more important. Amen? As believers, we are what we would say, temporary residents of this world, yes? Foreigners. The word says you're not of this world. Amen? The sticker, bumper sticker, N-O-T-W, not of this world. Right? Some of you have that on your, I don't know if anybody has that on their car. I had it on a notebook once. We're temporary residents and foreigners of this world because our real home is in heaven. Amen? Heaven is where God lives. We call it the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven was prayed for to come down, right? Jesus prayed, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on this earth. Well, how does it come on this earth? How does kingdom of heaven come down on this earth? How does love come down on this earth? How does peace and joy and come down on this earth? How is it spread around? How does the kingdom of God spread around this earth? By you, by me. Amen. In the old days, the kingdom of heaven came to earth in symbolism like the tabernacle and the temple. God's presence dwelt in there. It came to full being when Jesus Christ was sent. And then it came even more when the Holy Spirit came to live inside each and one of us. Amen? Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in each one of us because he dwells inside of us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then it spread through the whole world because the Holy Spirit came to live in every believer, so we are to spread the good news. Amen. Verse 12 in here, in 1 Peter verse 12, in chapter 2 verse 12, is sound advice. Be careful to live properly among the unbelievers. It's Peter's advice. It sounds like Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. If your actions are good, or if your actions are above reproach, we would say, if your actions are godly or righteous, then no one can stand against you. Amen? If God is for us, then no one can be against us. If we're with God, God's with us. Therefore, it doesn't matter. We're going to be who we be. If you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you are going to be what God calls you to be because it has to be that way. God isn't going to dwell in itself if you're not going to let him shine through. He wants to dwell inside of you to show himself to other people, do you see? And so he can't deny himself. It's going to happen. It has to happen. It is who he is. If God is love and you have God on the inside, then that means that you show love. If God is peace and you have God on the inside, then that means that you have to show peace. If God is joy and God is in you, we can go on and on down the line. You can go through the fruit of the Spirit if you'd like. Peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I might have missed one there. Or a couple. Don't shoot me. No tomatoes, as Calvin would say. But if your actions are above reproach, then anybody trying to come against you, it's not going to stand. Amen? What can also happen there is that if there are bad rumors going on about you or bad talk about you because it's not true, that can also be used as God's benefit to show those other people that hears the truth. And that might stir in their heart to make a decision about Christ in their life. Amen? So see, what the world thought was going to be bad, God can use to make it good. Amen? And that's a good thing. Amen? The funny thing I always find about Matthew chapter 5 is that it's Jesus speaking in most of that, and he's really talking to his disciples. So he's talking to people who follow him. So he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to us as believers. He's not sitting down talking to unbelievers, trying to convince them that he's the Messiah, because he tried that. They didn't believe him. Right? So he's talking to his disciples, and then people are being stirred. People are being, and they're gathering around, hearing what he has to say. Amen? But I find that he's really talking to us, his disciples, his people. Right? We have to consider this, that we as Christians are his instruments. We as believers are his hands and feet, as you say. Right? We have, how you would say, Christian influence. So the question here I'm going to pose to you today is, how are we using our influence? How are you using your influence in your job, in your life, in your family, in other things? How are we having that out? Are we salt? Are we light? Or are we pepper? And are we a really, really dim light? Trying to shine through a, as the song goes, a bushel. That's the question I'm posing. Well, how is that to you? I always ask questions, and I like to ask questions, and I like to put challenges, because I believe that the whole Bible is a challenge. A challenge to live life the way that Christ wanted us to live life. And we all help each other. Right? In chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, it's talking about how to be a positive witness for Christ. It's talking about how to be a positive follower of Christ, but yet a witness. A positive witness, have a positive life for people to see. If you call yourself a Christian and then go out there and don't act like one, what are they seeing? I can say I'm a millionaire, but if I don't show it, then I'm not. You know, I mean, it's real simple. We call that fake in today's world. We call that, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we call those hypocrites who say one thing but do another, right? And to some aspect, we all have that capability of being hypocritical, meaning that we say one thing and do another. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it is bad, but sometimes life happens. We're not perfect. The striving to become perfect is where we need to find that path, to strive to become perfect, to live by our yeses being yeses, and to live by our noes being noes, and to live by our convictions. So that people can see who you are and who lives inside of you. If they can see who lives inside of you, they're not seeing you, they're seeing God the Father. That's who they need to see. The love, the peace, the joy, the patience, the calm in the storms, the reliance on something other than yourself, because we all know when we try to do things, we screw it up. When we try to push the issue, and I mean push the issue, there's three doors and we're going to knock all three of them down. It never ends up being quite right. But when we wait on the Holy Spirit to give us guidance, when we wait on what needs to happen, we open the right door because we have the right key, and it's exactly how it was supposed to happen. Amen? May have been not in the timing that we thought it was going to happen, or exactly the way that we thought things were going to happen, but it happened the way it was supposed to happen. And when you look back on it, it's like, man, I'm glad I waited, or man, I'm glad I did it this way, because now I can testify about waiting, and good things happen because I waited on the Lord, and I didn't try to push the issue and have to step back and say, man, I wish I would have done this. Amen? And then have to clean up the mess that happened because I chose to make a hasty or a quick, ungodly decision. And that testimony then might be the one testimony that somebody needs to hear so they change their life around. That's why we're here, to be a positive witness. Amen? That's part of why you live the life that you live. And sometimes we can use our dumb mistakes as a positive reflection so other people don't have to go through that. Now, people will be people. Some people have to make decisions on their own and end up having to clean up the messes that they have to clean up. That doesn't negate the fact that God is still good and God is still sovereign and God is still with us and God has not left you. We sometimes believe that and believe the lies from the enemy and saying that because of this mess that we created that God left us. Well, no, he didn't leave you. You forgot about him. Just stop what you're doing. Reassess the situation. Get on his side. And everything will work out just fine. Now, we still have to clean up a mess, but everything will work out just fine. And in that is the testimony that people need to hear as being a positive witness about the goodness of God, about the love of God, about how good God is in your life. They might need to hear that out there, how good God is in your situation. And you know what? People go through a lot of similar things all the time. Maybe your situation is the same as somebody else's situation. They need to hear how you got through it. What did you do to get through that situation? I know that's helped me, talking to other people who have been through similar situations. How did you do it? What did you do? And everybody has a little bit different, but that witnessing, that testimony, that positive outcome, because you're talking to people about how good God is. You're talking to people about the goodness that he did. That's what people need to hear. Rely on God. Trust God. Have faith in God. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, here's how I did it. Give them a stepping stone. Give them a ladder. People still have to do it for themselves. The Bible says we all have to work out our own salvations in fear and trembling, but at least we can give them a ladder, a direction on how to do that. Amen? A witness, a testimony. Amen. Our influence is, let's turn to Mark, the book of Mark. I'm probably going to skip over some things, JP, just so you know. Okay, back there, Mr. Computer Man. Mark chapter 9. Let's go to verses 49 and 50. Amen. It says, "For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other." And what that means is this. That means that inside of you is the salt. Inside of you is the light. Inside of you is what people need. And so we live in peace with others because our Christian influence, our Christian testimony, our life is a witness. Our life is a testimony. And that testimony is what we would call rejuvenating, re-energizing, revitalizing, refreshing. When you're struggling and somebody has a testimony on how they overcame, it's re-energizing for you to overcome. You did it? I know I can do it. God is so good. He did it for you. He did it for you. He can do it for me. It gives us that strength and that boldness to continue on. Your influence and the things that you've went through can be revitalizing for those people that might seem to be downtrodden. Peter was falling. His eyes were on Jesus, but he was falling. His concentration was on what was around him. But because of what Jesus did, he bent over, he grabbed his hand, and he pulled him up. And I'm sure that once Jesus grabbed his hand and pulled him up, his energy was re-energized. He was refreshed and said, "I can walk on water. Here we go." Amen? Amen. That's what we can do as Christians and you can do outside these four walls for other people outside. And many of you do that stuff. And that's great. Continue and do that. And I encourage you to continue to do that. But if we're not, maybe we need to get on board. Amen? Just a thought. Just a thought. Amen. God is good. The God and the Holy Spirit that is inside of you is good and loving. Let's turn to John, the book of John, chapter 8. It says this in chapter 8, verses 12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Christ was the true light of the world, as it says here. Light was the first creation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen? It is the emblem of the Word. It is the, what they would say, the Logos state. God appeared as light, and he was the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Jesus is the light. And it says here, if you follow after him, I find it interesting the way it's put. It says this, Jesus spoke to them and became, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. The last portion is what is interesting. It says, because you will have the light. Amen. So you have the light. We all have the light. Well, where's the darkness? Well, I'm pretty sure you can look in the world and there's a little bit of darkness there. And there might be even a little bit of darkness or a corner of darkness where you work or where you live or in your family. And guess what you are then? You're the light, right? The Bible says where the light is, darkness cannot be. Cannot be. So, if you're the light, and we're trying to live this Christian influence that we have, this Christian life that we have, where you are, there cannot be darkness. If any of us are going through some things right now that might seem scary or whatever, might be in darkness, guess what? You're the light. And where the light is, the darkness cannot be. The Bible says it cannot be. It doesn't say it may not be or it might not be or maybe the light will expel. It says where light is, darkness cannot be. And I believe that's a promise that we can live by. That's a promise that if I am living with the light, it says here in verse 12, it says, if I follow Jesus, I don't have to walk in darkness because the light will be in me that leads to life. Then wherever I go, if there's darkness there, all I have to do is open the door and the darkness just goes. Amen. Amen. The darkness flees. That's good news. That's good news for us who have issues and have some things going on in our lives, whether it be family members or friends that are going through dark times and dark things. Well, go there. Be the light. Amen? Be the light. Show them the light. Then they can be the light in their own light, in their own life. How much more powerful is that? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians. We were there at one point in time, but Ephesians chapter 5. Are you with me, church? It's an encouraging word to be a positive witness. An encouraging word to be who you be. Be who God made you to be. The light. The salt. the testimony, the witness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says this. We read it before, but it says, "So for the light within you produces only what is good, right, and true." And in Philippians 2:12, it says then, "So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of the God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people." Shine like bright lights. Christians and followers of Christ are like reflections, like planets. They reflect the light of the sun, and we can see that, right? We can see those things. They shine. The moon shines by reflection. You, Christian, you, believer, you shine as a reflection of what's around you. God is in you. God is all around you. God is by your side. You are a reflection of that. Be a reflection. Be the reflection. I just wanted to put that out there. You cannot be hidden. The light of what's inside of you cannot be hidden. If the light is inside of you, it shines. If we are true believers, true followers, the light that's inside of you cannot be hidden. It can't be. God cannot deny himself of what he is. If we are hiding the light, then we are suppressing the word of God on the inside of us, meaning we may not be followers of Christ. We may just have the knowledge of Christ, but not be following Christ. Amen? But see, the Bible says that even the demons know. Right? Even the demons know. But they're not followers. So we have to think about that. Do I just know about it? Or am I following it? Following it means that it's going to shine. It's going to shine. Just knowing about it means it may not do anything. You may be doing, as the song says, hiding it under a bushel. I know it's there, but I'm not showing and shining my bright light. Amen. Another thing about being a positive witness is that it's not about your life. It's about heaven. It's about kingdom of heaven. I want to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. I want to read I want to read verse 23 and 24. It says, "All they knew was that people were saying, 'The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy.'" This is talking about Paul. And Paul says, "And they praised God because of me." But it wasn't for his glory. Paul didn't do what he did for Paul. He did what he did because he had a revelation of who he was in Christ. And by his testimony, it says here, by his witness, by how he lived his life, he was one way, changed his ways, then lived another way. And because of the way he lived now, the way he lived before, those combined was his testimony. They said, "For the one who used to kill us all is now the one who's preaching the very same faith that he would kill for." They praised God because they understood that there had to be this huge change and this huge difference in a man. So what happened to this man who would kill Christians to be the man who now follows and leads Christians? Only God can do that. Only a most powerful, most high God can change a man's heart in such a way to go from one of the biggest persecutors of Christians to one of the biggest advocates of Jesus Christ. 180. And so because of that life, because of that testimony, because of his witness, they praised God. What is your testimony? What is your witness? What has been in your life that has been changed by God? And that is your testimony to spread so that they can hear that and they can praise God because of what God has done in your life. Amen? Amen. The light under the bushel will go out. You put something over a candle, what does it do? It goes out. The oxygen is consumed, and it no longer shines. Well, when you hide down your testimony, when we hide down our God that lives inside of us, our Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, then the oxygen that it needs is snuffed out, and no longer does it shine. It needs to be on the lampstand. It needs to be up high, up out, to gather that oxygen in, to live, to breathe, to be that light. Some examples of a bushel in our lives might be anxiety, might be apathy, might be foolishness, cowardness, worldliness, covetousness. You get me? Vanity. These are all examples of possible bushels that can push out the light. Amen? These are all examples. But to see, the thing is that we have to all understand is that with God, there no one can be against you. And so all of these things that you might be living with, apathy or fear or anxiety, this is all from Satan. He is our enemy. God has no enemy, but he is our enemy. And so who do we look for? We look to God because he's overcome the world. He has overcome that already. So who lives inside of you? Jesus. Jesus has overcome the world and overcome the enemy already. He is victorious. And so that means that in him, you are victorious already. It has to be that way because God is who he is. Amen. Again, he cannot deny who he is. Even if he lives inside of you, he still can't deny who he is inside of you. So if he is victorious, guess what? You are victorious. None of this, I'm afraid stuff. No, I'm victorious. Well, there's these bad people. That's fine. There are bad people. I'm the light. I have the light. You have the light. And where the light is, darkness cannot be. The darkness might try to come in on the light, but you are victorious. Amen? Say, I'm victorious. Amen. You are victorious. Your victory, our victory needs to be visible. Amen? Your victory as a, your witness and your testimony has to be visible, has to be heard. If nobody hears it, this is where the question comes from. Does a tree, when it falls, make sound if nobody's around? Nobody knows. Nobody's there. But what can we figure out from understanding what happens? What I mean by all that means this. Your testimony has to be heard. If it's not heard, how can another person become victorious? Amen? Your victory refreshes. Your victory revitalizes. Your victory re-energizes people who need a similar victory. Amen? The essence of a Christian, the essence of you as a believer is that you're visible. You're visible to show. To show what? To show off your light. And it's not about you, but it's about the light that's inside of you. The light that you carry. Amen. Amen. The practical way to understand all of this and to understand Matthew 5, 16 and 17, where it talks about you're the light, like a city on a hill. And I like when you come across, you come right out of Bisbee, you can see all the valley right there, and you can see the houses that are there, and the houses that are there, and the houses that are there, and the houses that are there. Why? Because their light's on. Amen? If the lights were not on, in certain times, you ain't going to see anything. Well, turn a light on. You want people to know how good God is? Turn your light on. They can come to you for their needs. You can help them. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. You have the great advocate, the great comforter. Where? On the inside. Well, I don't know what to say. That's okay. The Holy Spirit does. Don't say anything until the Holy Spirit prompts you to say something. It's simple. Let your light shine before men, and they will see your good works. Amen? And then glorify God who is in heaven. That's what the Word says. Let your light shine before men, and they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we just read in Galatians. Paul let people see his good works, and they praise God for it. Amen? Amen. Yes, yes, yes. God is good. The light inside of you shines bright. It's not about you. It's not about what you do. It's about you just doing. The Word says, be ye doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word. Why? Why do you have to do what the Word says? So people can see how good the Word is. So people can see and hear how good God is. Amen? That's why it says, be ye doers of the Word. Amen? I forget where it says in Revelations, but it says that people overcome by what? Two things. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Be a positive witness. A positive witness. I can tell you about witnessing. I've witnessed the New Gen Bible Club at the high school for a number of years, and I see how it has changed the atmosphere at the high school. Why? A positive witness. If you see at your work and you become a positive witness, you can see the people around you, it changes. Your witness changes the atmosphere. Your God, your light changes the atmosphere in the room. Sometimes you can even notice that when you walk into a room, it changes. You walk into the room and all of a sudden it's like, something changed. What changed? The atmosphere changed. Why? What was it? It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was what's in you. And what you carry on the inside of you. Amen? I believe that most times people get Christianity confused and don't fully understand what it means to be a Christian. And that's where people get confused about things, because people are maybe not testifying properly or not witnessing properly, and people get the wrong idea about what Christianity is. Oh, Christians, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of this and a bunch of that. You blah, 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 blah. I'm sure some of us have heard those things before. You say one thing, do another. There's so many hypocrisies within the Word of God. There's so many things, contradictions, and you contradict yourselves all the time. Well, that's what you say. But if you really understand and really live it out, there will be no hypocrisy in what you do. Because who lives on the inside of you? What comes from what lives on the inside of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I don't even remember the rest of them right now. I'm missing two, I think. Somebody can. Patience. Of course. I think we know some people who maybe write off you as a Christian or blow you off because of their ignorance about what Christianity really is. Because of the people they have been around and people giving bad testimony, people giving false testimony, false witnesses. Well, you are still the light. And it doesn't matter what the person next to you or the person over there is talking about and how they're talking about Christ, you are the light. You need to live as the light. We need to become better about understanding what our job is here. And be a light out there. Come to church, get filled, get encouraged, but out there is where the rubber meets the road. Out there is where people are looking at you to see, oh, he says he's a Christian. Oh, you know, he's the pastor of a church. Let's see. Oh, they say they do this and do that. Let's see. Ah, you see? And live your life the way we said it in Philippians and in Ephesians, above reproach, as God intended to, not succumbing to the worldly pleasures, but being a light in the world. Amen? Amen. The moral of the story is that we need to be a positive witness and not write people off because maybe they think one way. No, love them. Love them. I've heard it before, and I've heard Pastor Calvin say it before, but love the hell out of them, right? Love them. Jesus loved you. Through all of whatever we go through, Jesus still loved us. Amen? So we can be a positive witness. We can have a positive testimony to go out and be the light of the world like it was meant to be. Instead of writing them off and saying, whatever, you don't believe right, you don't know right, you don't know whatever, then teach them. Show them. Love them. Love them by your life. Teach them by your life. Show them Christ by how you live. Amen? Amen. The encouraging word for you today is to be a positive witness. Amen? Be a positive witness. Let your light shine. And hide it under a bushel? No. Let it shine. Amen? Let's stand. Let's close out this service in a word of prayer. Amen. I'd like you to close your eyes and just focus on God right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and ask for your forgiveness if we have not been the light that we've needed to be. Lord God, I ask for your forgiveness and I ask for your strength and your boldness to flow through this place and to touch the hearts of the people and to bless them with strength and boldness and courage and joy and peace to be the light that they need to be in their family, to be the light they need to be in their work, to be the light they need to be the positivity that they need in their family. to be the positivity and the positive, the bright light to shine and to get out of the darkness and to expel the darkness, Lord, I pray and I ask for your blessing upon their lives. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you and you have some family issues going on and you need the light to be bright, cry out to God, Lord, brighten the light within me. Increase my boldness to be the light in the darkness. That what Jesus said is you can speak to the mountain and the mountain will move, and to speak to the darkness and the darkness will flee. There's something going on in your life. You need to have that peace and that joy and that strength to move forward. But if anxiety and fear and all these other things are in the way, then we need to get those out of the way right now. And so in Jesus' name, we declare over this peace and joy and strength. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, Lord God. You are so good. Yes, Lord. Right now, in your own words, I want you to praise Him and thank Him for the light that lives inside of you, for the light that lives inside, and for the strength and the boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Thank you, Jesus, for stirring it up. Thank you, Jesus, for stirring it up. Stir up the coals. Stir up the flame. Get the flame shining bright. Turn the gas up. Put another log on the fire. Come on. Stir it up inside of you. The light that shines brightest expels the darkness the most. And that's on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit on the inside says, get out, darkness. Get out, fear. Amen. That's you. Say, that's me. Say, I'm the light. Because Jesus is on the inside. You are His hands and His feet. You are His lampstand. You are what is shining bright. And so you shine as bright as you can outside at your work, outside in your family. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray of you right now. I bless in Jesus' name each and every person in here. Let the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ be in you and remain in you. And that light shines bright. And that bright light remains to expel the darkness in your work, to change the atmosphere in your family, to go from fear to boldness, to go from weakness to strength, to go from being anxious to being calm, knowing that your Lord, that my God, has got it all covered and is in control. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God loves you. I love you. Praise God for what He has on the inside of you and for the strength that lives on the inside. Amen. Have a blessed day. God is good. Amen. Amen. Remember, we have Spanish service this afternoon at 3. We have youth group, if you're of age, tonight at 5. We got midweek service on Wednesday. We got prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We got over.